Don't children ask the best questions? Well, today's guest, homeschooling veteran and author Patty Armstrong, created a successful Catholic book series based on the amazing questions of her own children about loving and living our Catholic faith. Join us to hear the stories behind the beloved Dear God book series for children.
Welcome to Homeschooling Saints, the podcast that helps you create the homeschool you love for the people you love. Our host is Lisa Maladnik, a Catholic life coach, TV host, best-selling author, and an instructor at Homeschool Connections.
Before we get started, remember to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you're watching on YouTube, click the bell to join our channel. Hello and welcome. I'm Lisa Maladnik, your host, and it's a joy to welcome Patty Armstrong to the program to talk about her wonderful Dear God book series for children. Patty McGuire Armstrong is an award-winning journalist with the National Catholic Register and was managing editor and co-author of the best-selling Amazing Grace series. Her latest books are the humorous and inspirational second editions of Dear God, I Don't Get It, Dear God, You Can't Be Serious, What Would Monica Do, and Holy Hacks. Patty was in social work and public administration before staying home as a writer, while she and her husband Mark raised their 10 children and homeschooled for 19 years in North Dakota. You can follow her on X, and that's at Patty Armstrong, and I've got that in the show notes, and Patty is spelled with an I, and read her blog at PattyMaguireArmstrong.com as well. Welcome to the show, Patty.
Thank you, Lisa. What an honor to be here.
Oh, gosh. We've just been talking up a storm before hitting record, so I hope you're not losing your voice by this point. We've been having a lot of fun.
I know. I think we almost did a whole show just before we started.
Yeah, we did. Patty's too much fun, everybody. So definitely check out her blog and her books. But I wanted to start by inviting you to tell us how an award-winning journalist finds herself writing for children.
I read so many children's books, and there were books I loved, and the ones that I loved, my children loved. And there were ones that were duds, and it just seemed to be that I had a radar that was in union with the kids. I loved some of the series. You know, we read Little House on the Prairie, all those Little House books. We read The Great Brain, where there's I don't know if you've ever heard of the Great Brain series.
Oh no, I haven't.
I love it. It's hilarious. And the main character is a boy, and I had 8 boys and 2 girls, but they were the kind of stories, it didn't matter. The stories that we loved, Henry Huggins and Ramona Quimbley, those books, it didn't matter if you were male or female. My boys loved them as much as the girls. And so when I just felt inspired, we had a sense of humor in our family. And my husband and I said, you know, we need to laugh. These are the best years of our life. We'd often remind ourselves. One night, the electricity went out. Somebody was sick and threw up on the bathroom floor. And from the other side of the bathroom wall, my husband says, remember, these are the best years of our life. So laughter puts things in perspective. And I don't know, you know, with my writing, I used to write in the secular world. I wrote for Women's World for 10 years. And I even for a short time wrote for the National Enquirer until my desire, the things that brought me to be a social worker, I was getting serious about my faith. I wasn't a very good Catholic because I wasn't very well catechized. But as that desire moved me more and more to understanding and a relationship with Jesus, I started to understand the faith and realized I really couldn't sell my soul to the Enquirer, that wouldn't be the right thing to do. So, and then I wrote for Women's World for 10 years, and they allowed me to include things like somebody praying to God or feeling that their angel was there. So it was a good experience. Well, one day I gave my gift of writing to God intentionally. Before that, I thought religious writing would be very boring. I had no interest in it. Plus, it didn't pay as well as the secular world. But I said, God, you've given me this gift. I want to give it back to you. I want to use it for you. And my goodness, he took me up on it immediately. I did a few more stories with the with Woman's World. Every single one had a spiritual element to it. And then I started, you know, blogging started coming into the world. We're old enough that we remember when there wasn't such a thing as a blog. And then even when I heard about people that had blogs, I thought, yeah, I don't got time for that. But I started writing for like Catholic Exchange, and then was asked to write for others. And before you knew it, I got invited to right, with the National Catholic Register. So I took an abrupt turn writing for our Sunday Visitor, Legatus Magazine, and started writing Catholic books. I started wanting to write the story. If you've ever read, for instance, Little House on the Prairie, that's called a fictionalized history, or what is it, historical fiction? Mm-hmm. So I would call mine historical fiction. It's based on the characters in our family, but I could just go wherever I wanted to with the story. So that some of the stuff really happened. Some is just, you know, I made it up as I went along, but I always knew how everybody would act. And one of the most rewarding moments was when I had my oldest son reading the book and laughing so hard. He said, "That's exactly what Luke would do." So I had captured their personalities and had a lot of fun with it. But I'd been a Catholic long enough and had been in a lot of different volunteers and ministries where I encountered people who had lost their faith. And time again, there was a lack of understanding of what a relationship and what prayer means. So I can understand when we are teaching our kids, Jesus loves you, you know, God, you know, God, you know, well, then how come he's doing this to me? You know, that we have to integrate those answers in prayer and understanding of God, along with how he can get you through the rough spots, but there will be rough spots. So we can't not include that piece. And we might even not be thinking about, oh, you know, haven't I had that conversation with my kids? Because a lot of parents don't have that conversation. And that's why a lot of people feel betrayed, that either there isn't a God or God betrayed me. And so I put it into these stories in a way that it's full of humor, full of inspiration, boy characters, but there's girls in the story too. So, and I know it's been used by Catholic schools, and time again, you know, I know both the boys and the girls love the stories, but it's a way of teaching the faith, like in the Amazing Grace series, without lecturing, where whoever the reader is, and sometimes it's adults who told me, I couldn't put it down, I had to finish it, or I got tears reading it and laughing. And I'm getting carried away, and maybe I'm giving you way too much of an answer here, but it really is about answering the hard questions in a fun, adventurous, inspirational story.
Yeah, and that's so perfect, because my kind of next question would have just been, and I think we can take this even further, like these are some important themes, prayer and suffering and even humor, I think is, you know, we're touching in God's territory there, you know, a certain kind of humor. And so would you just tell us some more of the themes that you cover, and how is it that, you know, and maybe even to what people, how people are responding as their children read the books, or they read the books to their children. How are you connecting with your audience on some of these really important themes?
I'm being touched by my audience. We did the second edition. I had let it go and let the book slip out of publication, and I was continually hearing back from people. I put something on Facebook Marketplace, an old antique kneeler, and somebody said, "Hey, are you the woman who wrote that book? My son read it over and over again, and he said every time he read it, it moved his heart." Oh, I thought, wow, I just put something on Facebook Marketplace, and this is the kind of response. And I went to a wedding, and somebody said, "Oh, my girls read your book. We used it in homeschool, and they were all excited to meet me." I thought, you know, maybe I need to get this back on the market. And so I added discussion questions. And there's going to be a third book, but I realized that this was a treasure that I needed to keep out there.
Yeah, it's amazing the way God works. Like, you know, as a fellow writer too, sometimes when something works and it touches people, do you ever have the experience where you look back at it and go, "Wow, I wrote that"? Like, there's so much more.
I have to be careful. Like, sometimes I'm like, "Wait, did I write that? I want to make sure I'm not plagiarizing. Is that my article?" No, Lisa, we're so busy and we are trying to be responding to God and we're being inspired. And sometimes you can look back at your own writing, and it's all new to you. But I should tell you the themes of the story. So the first one in Dear God, I Don't Get It is Aaron Ajax and his family. They're in Kalispell, Montana, which we did live. I mean, there's a lot of this really happened to us. And their father got laid off from the radio, and they end, and he's praying that they could stay in Kalispell, but they end up moving to Bismarck, North Dakota. And he's thinking, well, why I said all those prayers and they didn't work. So he starts to have kind of a crisis of faith. He later finds out that his younger brother, Luke, who's always kind of, they love each other, but, you know, Luke is always like, he's a bit of a, he's funny, but he's antagonizing him oftentimes. He was praying that they would move because he thought it would be fun. So now he's really confused. And he's feeling abandoned and betrayed by God. And he's grappling with some important questions. For instance, what's he knew about the saint stories. And at school, he's learning about Johnny Appleseed. And that's he's a hero. He wants to be a hero. So he sets out and he does things to be a hero. And he gets himself in trouble because he creates situations that'll make him look like a hero. And in the end, it falls apart and everybody realizes. And he starts to come to grips with what is a hero and what is a saint. And then he's in a circumstance where he ends up helping somebody. And the local newspaper calls him a hero. And he said, but I didn't do anything. I was just there. So now, like this whole theme, there's a theme of prayer, relationship with God, and the difference between being a saint and a hero. But then he has to make a real hard decision. Somebody who's been mean to him. And he has compassion because suddenly this kid has just been unfairly judged, is being hurt. And he reaches out to him and thinks, what am I doing? Because while he's just starting to get accepted. So you can see in a kid's life, these are very real situations. Whether it's happened to them personally, they can relate. And you realize, yeah, I don't care if you're in second grade or third grade, you have these decisions to make that are about your faith life, about your relationship with God, and about doing difficult things and continuing in prayer, even when you don't always understand. In the end, everything, of course, turns out beautifully. And he then, like we at our old age, we have a perspective. There's an ebb and flow, and you stay with God, and he gets you through it. And so in a period, a very short time, he goes through this and learns some very powerful lessons and does so in a very entertaining way for the reader.
Oh, that's so much fun. And as you mentioned, when kids like something, they'll read it over and over again. They'll act it out. They'll draw pictures. What would you say the age range is for these books?
So it's going to depend on the kid. This is a funny question because as an author, you have to have your target audience with vocabulary. Like I have vocabulary. So it's a little challenging, but you're learning and you always understand what's going on. So I did it for the third to sixth grade, but first graders, and believe it or not, teenagers and adults are telling me that they're reading it. And this is a surprise to me. Not just they're reading it, but they're reading it over and over. So I was at a Catholic marketing network and I saw Susan, you might know her last name. I can't remember it. She's the president of Heartbeat Records. And I had given her a copy of the book and then I saw her the next day and she goes, she's Irish, just has a beautiful Irish accent. And she goes, Patty, I have to tell you, I had to take your book away from my granddaughter last night. She wouldn't go to bed. I had to take it away from her. And then later she contacted me and her granddaughter was 14 years old. And she later said she read it two or three times. She loved it so much. So that's when I wrote the first book. And then I had a local school, Christ the King, had me come and talk to the students. They read it to all the students. And somebody said, well, are you going to write a second book? And I thought, oh, I don't know. I just thought, hey, I wrote a children's book. Did it. Done. I said, I don't know. I never thought of that. I said, I'll tell you what, you pray for me and I'll pray for you. So there was a second book. And I have started on a third book. And it's the type of thing where, and I want to say the second book, the family decides to homeschool. And there's some rebellion from the second oldest child, Luke, which is what we did experience in our family because the kids were in public school. Well, two were in Catholic school. One was in public school because we had moved here and there wasn't room for the older one. So we did start to homeschool and he did rebel, but he did end up loving it. So we write that some of that different scenarios and emotions when he, and the name of that book is Dear God, You Can't Be Serious. Like there's no way you can't be serious because he liked going to school. Once again, very humorous and inspirational, so many different situations. And the message of that book is really that trying to be in control all the time, you get yourself into trouble. And not accepting, well, not trusting in his parents, thinking he had a better idea, doesn't serve him well. And in the end, he ends up loving homeschooling, but he doesn't want to admit it at first because he fought it so hard. But an important thing about the book and being a homeschooler myself, I didn't want anybody to feel that you have to homeschool, or this is for the public school or the Catholic school or the homeschoolers. It really is for everybody. And I bring characters in to reflect that. And the book was used in, there was a fourth and fifth grade teachers that used it in their class for all the different subjects, you know, from English to writing and religion class. They integrated. She was a wonderful teacher. She'd have them read the books, ask me to come and talk to the students after. And I had the extreme blessing of interacting with those kids, with them jumping out of their seats. One time she said, "Do you see that boy that kept jumping out of his seats? I could never get him to read, but he loved your book." And one, my son, Luke, the second oldest, he actually lives in Guatemala. He loves to serve the poor. He is just as bit as adventurous as an adult as he was as a child. He was in town and I was speaking to this class. And I said, "Wait a minute, do you guys want to meet the real Luke?" And they go, "Yeah." So I called him on my phone. I said, "Luke, can you run down here? Because we're only half a mile from the school." And they were so excited to talk to the real Luke in the book. And they wanted to know like which stories really happened and which were made up. So it was so much fun.
Oh, how wonderful. I love the way it all kind of like God prompted you every step of the way. Everybody, we're with Patty Armstrong here talking about her Dear God book series for children. We're going to take a quick sponsor break to hear from our great friends at Homeschool Connections, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Walter Crawford.
And I'm Maureen Whitman.
We are the co-founders of homeschoolconnections.com and proud sponsors of the Homeschooling Saints podcast,
which is here to help you homeschool more joyfully, more easily, and more effectively.
We want to thank you for listening.
And we invite you to check out our courses at homeschoolconnections.com.
And now, back to our program.
All right, we're back with Patty Armstrong talking about her Dear God book series for children, and they just sound so fantastic. I want to start all over again and homeschool again. So, what kinds of, you mentioned that people have even said to you after you wrote the first book, you know, and when it went out of print, you know, where's your book, or is there another one? And what other kinds of feedback have you had from people, Patty?
Well, one that was so touching to me, as I know a mother of six kids, she adopted three of them. Oh no, she had eight kids. I'm sorry. Eight kids. Three were adopted and her kids love to read. Her natural born kids, very bright, very talented and gifted. And she, one of the boys in particular, had learning disabilities. And she said she could, his name was Jimmy. She could not get him to read nothing. She said, "Patty, I have to tell you, everywhere we go now, I gave him your book and he takes it with him everywhere. And he reads it over and over and over to the dentist. You know, we have to wait to the dentist. He just keeps reading this book and I've never been able to get him to read." So when the second book came out, I mailed it to her and he was so excited about it. He said, "Mom, you got to read this when I'm done. I think you could get it. Like you would understand why I love it so much." That was so touching to me. Wow. And then I had another mother, Patty Franson, her son, very talented and gifted, always in the upper, you know, special programs at school. And she sent me a picture of him laying on the floor reading the book. And he read it over and over. Wow. And she said, he ran out to help a neighbor carry the groceries into the house. And she said, "Daniel, I've never seen you do that before." She said, "Well, I got the idea because Aaron did that in his, you know, in the book." Oh. And so Those are two, that and the boy, when the mother contacted me on Facebook Marketplace to buy something and said, are you that author? And she said, her son said, every time I put his little blurb in the republishing of the book because I wanted some feedback from some of the readers so I can show, like, this is the reaction that some of the readers are happening. And I asked him if he could just write that down and I could include it in the next book. And so to say that every time he read it, it moves his heart. Every time I read it, it moves my heart. I thought, wow, this is like you're integrating the stories, lessons into your life, and it's moving your heart. So those three reviews are the ones that humble me and make me feel like I'm the blessed one. I've been honored to be able to share a story that doesn't come from me, that comes from my willingness to be open to what God has to give me. Because I never thought of myself as a writer of fiction. I'm a nonfiction writer.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I think there's so many stories of the saints who, like, were got drafted to be the bishop or the pope or whatever it was, like, that they didn't think they were qualified or they didn't necessarily expect. And then God does incredible things through them. I feel like we have so much example in the history of the church of God doing that, of just kind of going, I got a little surprise for you. Boom.
And writing children's book was a surprise. Another surprise is I have a TV talk show, Ladies of Another View. I did not apply for this. As a matter of fact, I said no. Because Lisa, you understand. Now here you are. You are a gifted broadcaster and God put you in this situation. I was telling you earlier, I love how organized you are. I love how well you put everything you make. You're so graceful. And I've always thought that about you. I've heard you speak before. And I just am a big admirer of yours. But when I was asked to do broadcasting, I thought, when I write, I edit and edit and edit. And then when I really like it, I put it out into the world. With broadcasting, everything's a first draft.
Yes. Yes.
I thought, and plus it's a secular show. But it wasn't too long when I realized, and at first I said no, and then we have a panel of hosts, and we interview people, and then I realized, okay, I could do that, but I still wasn't real happy about it. And then as time went on, and we were preparing for the show, I realized, oh my gosh, what an opportunity this is to be in the secular world. You know, I usually have a big crucifix, sometimes I have my little one, but I always have a crucifix. I've interviewed an exorcist, I've interviewed several priests, a nun in her full habit, but we do secular topics all the time. But at different times, I've brought, you know, people representing the Catholic faith. But I always said, well, for instance, Monsignor Shea, he's written a book from Christendom to Apostolic Mission. And I said, okay, we're all experiencing this culture, this woke culture that is going against the Christian values that we grew up with. So his message applies to all of us. So I can't go full on Catholic catechism, but God gave me a platform where I can live my faith out in front of a secular crowd.
That's fantastic. I love that. It's so unexpected. I feel like I know there's a lot of the unexpected when you write in a humorous way for children or anything else, but I feel like this might be another book in the series, you know, the way God provides these open doors. And we really don't know what he's doing until we say yes and start moving toward them. And what an incredible, right. It's part of the mystery of the walking with him, right?
And there's some risks. You just have to keep a strong prayer life. And sometimes I think we've all had that experience where we're not sure. So we keep praying, we go to adoration, and then we start to feel directed. And then we do know. And then the times when we're not sure, I'll say things like, well, I think this is what you want me to do, and I trust you'll close the door if it's not. That we do have to step out in faith sometimes. And I'm really enjoying, it's been 3 years, we're going into the fourth year with the TV talk show, but it was kind of painful for me in the beginning. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm terrible. And I, you know, do I have to keep doing this? But you just keep walking with the Lord, staying in touch. And your desire to serve him is what he wants. And then he's going to direct that. And I think we've all had, I think we all have those experiences where if we went back 10 years and were told where we would be today, I bet for a lot of your audience, if anybody ever told them they were going to homeschool, they wouldn't have believed it for some. So we all have had that experience where God surprises us, but wherever he leads us, he gives us what we need at that time.
Yeah, I so often think of the book The Hobbit because he did not want to leave his comfortable hobbit hole, but he found himself in the discomfort and danger and uncertainty and surprises of that journey. He really came back really quite a well-developed little hero. And I feel like that's what I love about the story, I think, more than anything else. And I love the humor and I love all the humanness of the characters. But this is just such a good theme to be working in. So I'm lobbying for this to be a theme for a future one of your Dear God books. But could you tell us what, like, in terms of, you mentioned a teacher, you know, a really good teacher who was using the books for various subjects. Could you give us a little more insight into how we might use them in our homeschools?
Absolutely, because, you know, when I homeschooled, I became the field trip coordinator, self-appointed. I realized I was doing field trips because I wanted to add value to my children's lives. I didn't want them just to sit and by rote learn things. Sometimes you have to, math. Not everything is crazy exciting. We played preposition bingo. I tried to make things as much fun as I could. We had spelling bees. So even a preschooler can participate in the spelling bee with their older brothers and sisters, because for their list, there might be shapes or colors, or then we do letters, but everybody had their own list. So on Fridays, we had spelling bees. So I wanted to enrich my kids' lives while we still studied history and math and English. But I also integrated field trips, or we studied, I had some old magazines I got at a rummage sale on Beanie Babies. And I was showing, I just had the two youngest home then. We were looking at what happened with the Beanie Babies, how everybody thought there was so much value and then it crashed. So I said, well, that's like the stock market crash. So we went off on a study of the Great Depression. Then that took us to the Dust Bowl. We read stories. We read books from the library on the Dust Bowl. We used to go visit people at the nursing home. We knew a lady who lived through the Dust Bowl. So that was my philosophy. Get the basics and then really enrich their lives so that homeschooling is something that is so high quality and fun. And to me, that's what the books do. And it was a wonderful teacher, Kay Powers, who used to bring them into her classroom. And she was a good teacher. She made school fun. And she was able to integrate the books into religion and English and reading. If your kids just read for fun, I used to read. My husband and I read to our kids every night. So as we had more kids and they got older, I would take the older kids or he would take the younger ones. Or first I'd do the older ones. And then even though he had already read to the younger ones, I would go in and tell them stories. So we were very much about stories and reading for fun, even when it wasn't attached to the school day. But it can be attached to the school day. It depends on how you want to work it in.
Yeah, I imagine that some of the children probably wanted to write stories of their own after hearing them, and others wanted to draw pictures and so forth, or play them. But there's just so much, as you said, there's vocabulary in there that you could pull out. You could have them write a story of their own. You could have them narrate back what the important themes or learnings would be. I could just see anything like this that really ignites them, that has purpose, it's got richness to it, but it also a lot of fun, just like you said, to really provide opportunities to have school be not just kind of sitting around and doing the rote part, which is necessary, but we don't want it to all be the same. And I also want to just mention that reading aloud, we've done shows on this. Not only does it teach them how to pronounce challenging words, but it's very bonding to be imagining together, to be envisioning. And it's so lovely to ask them to think out loud about what they're hearing, which a lot of moms do naturally.
It unleashes creativity. That's what stories do. And, I've neglected in mentioning that the publisher is Holy Heroes. Holy Heroes is just such an amazing publisher because they offer so many tools, fun and kits and, Advent kit and mass things, Our Lady of Fatima and Our Lady of Lourdes, in so many ways to enrich children's lives. And they also have material that can help the parents too. So they really cater. They are a perfect fit for these books because of they have that philosophy of enrichment and beauty and fun and inspiration. So, and some of the old, I dug up some of the old readers. We used to use the old Catholic readers. But back in the day, maybe there was a little bit less color to teaching. So now we kind of bring it all in together, and Holy Heroes really, really does that. I'm a big fan of them and blessed that they are, that they decided to republish and to continue on with this book as a series.
Oh yeah. We've had Carrie and her daughter on the show at various times, and I'm very impressed with them. They provide so much like free stuff for Lent and for various times in the liturgical year. They also have all the publishing that they're doing and lots of other fantastic products. So I'm always happy to give them a plug. Just go to holyheroes.com. Everybody, you'll love them if you don't already know them. Yeah. So you said you were working on a third book. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, so, you know, the funny thing is this is so the Holy Spirit, because I'm a nonfiction writer. And so I've heard of writer's block, but I've never experienced it, just, you know, because I got the information. When you interview people or you research something, the information's there. You can start, you can work it later. But when you're writing fiction, you got a blank slate. It's going to go somewhere and you got to figure out where it's going to go. So I do have about 4 or 5 chapters written, and I have to get back to it. And I can tell you that Aaron is getting older. There's the mother had twins, and the second and third child, Luke and Tyler, they're going to go on a summer vacation with their grandparents. Uh-huh. So they're going to take it out of the school. Whereas, you know, first Aaron was getting adjusted to the public school, and then there's a whole big adjustment. Like, wait, why are we homeschooling? So now it's just going to be them going on vacation. And it's fun, it's adventurous, it's humorous. It's really about surrender and love. The youngest of the two, Tyler, is going to be struck by realizing that his grandfather had it kind of tough in life. And a lot of times that's something I want to not just, you know, it's all hearts and flowers. And it's based on reality. You know, my dad never knew his dad, and his parents immigrated from Ireland, and his dad was an alcoholic. And I won't necessarily get into too hard of themes, but that he didn't know his dad, and his dad died when he was very young, and how the child is going to be struck by that, because we have this in our own families. There's a lot of difficult situations, so we're going to go there, but we're going to talk about surrender and why. My dad is 98, so he's kind of the inspiration for this figure and this story. So imparting that on kids too, looking around and saying, because even if your child maybe has got a lot of advantages, that to make an awareness of how you navigate, and that it isn't always easy, but how can these people still be happy? How can they choose to still be positive? And there's a lot, because the book isn't written yet, there's a lot I'm not sure where we're going to go. And this lesson is beyond just writing a book, but it's a situation where you get somewhere and you're not sure where this is going. You know, you've got to go forward, but you're not sure how you're going to go forward and what that's going to look like. So you just put it in God's hands and you trust, and you don't freak out. You don't say, I can't do this because there's nothing there. I can say, yeah, there's nothing there. I'm going to wait on you, Lord. I'm going to pray. I'm going to trust. You know, I'm going to start writing and just see how it goes. But whether I'm writing a book or being asked to do a talk show or figuring out how to clean my closet.
Oh, gosh.
Getting started sometimes is a little challenging.
I'm right there with you. Yeah. So I'm just going to suggest everybody right now, just say a quick little glance heavenward, a little prayer for Patty.
Oh,
that this new book in the series, this is how you can help participate in the third one in the series. Tell your children too. Get them the first two, and then say, okay, when we finish reading each of these books, we're going to say a prayer for Mrs. Armstrong, because she's inspired to obey the Lord.
Lisa, you're giving me goosebumps. I am so appreciative. That is so beautiful. And just as you say that, I realize the second book came because of a boy in a assembly asking if there's going to be a second book. And I said, oh, I never thought of that. I said, if you pray for me, I'll pray for you. Then there was a second book. But also with the second book, I didn't know how it was going to end. And I was talking to a classroom and I said, I don't know, the mother's going to have another baby. And these characters are modeled after my kids. And I want to bring a girl into the book. So I don't want there to be another boy, even though we did have four boys in a row. And one of the boys in the classroom says, why can't you have twins, a boy and a girl? So she did have twins. I mean, spoiler alert, because I feel like, well, you're the adults, you know, you're listening, or maybe your kids are listening, but it still is fun. And so I really feel like these books have been inspired through the prayers and ideas of the kids that have been reading it. So for you to ask to pray for that third book and where it's going to go, my gosh, that just gave me goosebumps. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. And you don't know when and where, you know, this conversation will be happening in somebody's ear, or if it's in the van, or whether they're alone and folding laundry or doing something. But God knows, and we're all connected in this beautiful family of ours. Yeah.
Well, as a matter of fact, when you say we're all connected, I'm very careful. I don't say this when I'm invited to speak somewhere, because I don't want to seem like I'm using it as a marketing ploy, but I pray for everybody who has my books. And the reason is, and I really felt inspired. I felt like, okay, God inspired me to write books, but that's only the beginning. Now I need to pray for the people receiving these books, that the Holy Spirit then opens up hearts and minds, and that this is bigger than me. I volunteered to be this instrument, or I opened myself up. I didn't even volunteer. God chose me for this. And I'm willing to, and I know this is all coming from God and the Holy Spirit, but my job is then to pray for the people that receive the book and have the book. So every day at Mass, I pray for everybody who has my books.
That's so good to hear. Yeah, I'm always praying for the people who listen to this show and anything else that I write or put out there too. Yeah, I mean, someday we're going to be all together in heaven, and God will show us the results of those prayers. We'll get to see whatever God sees when we lift each other to his heart. It's so beautiful. I could go on all day with you, Patty, but I know that you have a life and I have to let you go eventually. But
I gotta write that book.
yeah, you gotta get busy because we're all waiting for you. But take us out with anything that you'd like to leave us with, Patty. What's on your heart now?
I would say my biggest life lesson, and it's a lesson that runs through whether I'm interviewing somebody or writing fiction, is surrender. And a lot of people might be familiar with the Surrender Novena by Father
Delindo Rotolo. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it's
Father Rotolo. Yeah, okay. And what I love is the refrain, whether I'm actually saying the novena, but there's a refrain every day that we can all say, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Yes. So whether it's a closet or a chapter in a book or homeschooling, we can say, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. And trust and go forward in faith.
Amen. Amen. Goodness, I'm getting the holy shivers again. All right, everyone, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you. Pray for us. We're praying for you too, both of us. It's nice to have a guest on that you know is actually really praying for you. So good. Anyway, it's been lovely, Patty, and thank you again. Can't thank you enough for all the time that you took with us today.
God bless you, Lisa. It's been too long since I've seen you, so this is such a blessing. I really appreciate you having me on.
Oh, it's a joy. What a privilege. All right, everybody, find Patty on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Patty, P-A-T-T-I, Armstrong, just the way it sounds, and follow her fantastic blog. It's so good, at PattyMaguireArmstrong.com. And look for those books. We'll have links for them in the show notes as well, everybody. Have a great rest of your day in the Lord. God bless you. And that's our show for today. Our program is sponsored by homeschoolconnections.com. Be sure to subscribe to Homeschooling Saints and leave us an honest review. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.